Welcome to Truth Talk. This is your host, Larry Bryant, and the truth is out there. You know, if you seek it, you can find it. You know, that's what the Bible tells us. Seek and you shall find. You know, knock, you know, ask. You know, we need to be seeking God's word. We need to be seeking the will of God. We need to be seeking a greater understanding of God. And that's why he gave us the Bible, so that we can gain better knowledge. You know, we have the Holy Spirit living within us, and he's our lead and our guide. But, you know, the word of God is right here for us, too. You know, we need to renew our mind. And so, you know, sort of the topic I'm going to be speaking on today, you know, in life, stuff happens, and none of us are totally immune from that, because we live in a sinful world, so things are going to happen. Sometimes things happen. You know, there's a lot of storms of life. You know, sometimes there are physical storms that come in. Like tornadoes and high winds and, you know, hurricanes, depending on where you're living and stuff. And, you know, they wreak a lot of havoc, a lot of destruction. And especially if you're in an area where tornadoes come through, you know, you can look around and see, you know, the path that the tornado went, and the destruction that was over there, but just, you know, maybe a few hundred yards away or you know, a mile away or something, everything's still perfectly normal, you know. So why did it go over there and not over here? Well, people ask those same questions, you know. Well, you know, why'd that happen to them and, you know, not to me? Or why did this happen to me and not them? Hey God, you know, I've been trying to live for you. You know, I'm a Christian, and yet, you know, this bad stuff happened to me, and so there's a lot of questions, and you know, none of us have all the answers, but once again, the Word of God can give us a lot of insight, can help us gain understanding. Now, you know, but still there'll be some things probably that will still be a mystery to us until we make it home, and then he'll reveal everything to us. You know, everything will be plain then. You know, we'll have a deep understanding, and we can see how everything plays out. You know, here in this world, as we journey through it, we can't always see the big picture. You know, we're myopic. You know, what's happening to me? What's happening to my loved ones? But we can't see that, you know, the greater intertwined story, the intertwined picture of it all. And so, you know, if we do suffer, you know, and there will be some suffering in this life, but the Bible also tells us that God's going to watch over us. You know, God's still got us cradled right there in his hands. He's going to watch out for us. He's going to protect us. Yeah, he may allow some things to happen, but usually there's a purpose to that. We may not understand it, but we will eventually. You know, we just have to. Our job is to just stay faithful, and so to gain a little bit better insight, a little bit understanding. You know, one of the great books of the Bible is Job. You know, poor old Job. If you know a little bit about him. A lot of craziness happened, but at the end, it's okay. And so let's take a look here at Job, and try to glean a little better understanding about suffering that sometimes we go through. You know, it could be, maybe you did get caught in the storm, the storm of life. It could be that physical storm where maybe you lost your home. You know, maybe somebody hit and totaled your car, and they don't have insurance. You know, or whatever. You know, there's maybe you get hurt. Oh, maybe there's some sickness and disease that start to attack you. A lot of questions there, but let's take a look at Job. And you know, the book of Job starts out and it says, you know, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. Now, I've heard different commentaries and different things exactly where Uz was. And we may not know for sure. I've heard some people say, well, maybe it's in present-day Jordan or present-day Syria, or could have been in Saudi Arabia. So we may not know specifically, but we know it was in the east because the Bible tells us it's there in the east, or the Middle East today. And tells us here that Job had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and says he's also possessed 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest at all the people of the East. So Job's the greatest of all the people of the East. He's rich. He's exceedingly bountiful. You know, God has blessed him, and you know, He's not even a Christian, because Christianity, Jesus hasn't come yet. There's not Christians. Guess what? He's not even a Jew. He lives in the East. He's a Gentile. But he loved God, and God loved him. You know, God loves us all, and God is looking for people that want to serve him. You know, here, and I believe that in today's world, you know, those people that really want to know God, God is revealing himself to them, and, you know, their eyes is opened up to Christianity, and there's a lot of stories of a lot of crazy things going on in the world today. You know, thousands of Muslims having dreams of Jesus, and not just one Muslim, but whole families having the same dream. You know, hundreds of Muslims in an area having a dream of Jesus on the same night. And so, you know, a lot of people are coming to Christ in today's world. But here we know that a little bit about Job. He's rich. God has blessed him. And down here in verse 4, said that his sons basically would, he's got 7 sons. So every day, one of the sons is hosting the rest of the family. All the other brothers and the 3 sisters come in. They'll eat at brother one's house today and brother two's house. So 7 brothers. So every day of the week, they're all gathered together and they feast. And we see here that one of the things it said that Job would do, it says he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed and God in their hearts. It says, thus Job did it regularly. So Job is not just righteous himself, but you know, he prays for his family. Yeah, we should be doing that, right? He prays for his family. He gives offerings. He makes sacrifices for his family daily. There's a message in that too, you know, about being a good parent. But down in verse 6 of chapter 1, it gets in here and it says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? Now let's stop and think here. Okay, so God, there's a sort of a big meeting up in heaven. There's a day, and so these sons of gods he's talking about, this is in the spiritual realm. And so, you know, it's the angels and stuff. Most commentaries think that, you know, it's referring to the angels, the spirit realm. And so they all been summoned here to give account what's going on. Satan's here too. And so God asked him a question. He said, Satan, you know, from where do you come? Hey, now let's stop and think here. God's God. You think he didn't know what Satan was doing there? You think he didn't know where Satan came from? But he asked a question. It's just like, okay, if you read in other parts of the Bible, you know, God used to come down and walk in the cool of the day with Adam and Eve. And so after they sinned, you know, he came down into the garden. And so, you know, they're hiding from God. And so God says, I'm paraphrasing, but basically, hey, Adam, where you at, man? Adam. Now, you think God didn't know where Adam was? You didn't think he knows he's over there behind that tree, that bush, hiding his nakedness? God already knew it. So why is he asking that question? Because he wants to prompt that conversation, you know, with Adam in that case. And, you know, God wants to have communion with mankind. But so here he's prompting Satan and getting Satan into the conversation here. Yeah, where you come from? So Satan tells him. Satan answered the Lord, said, from going to and fro on the earth and walking back and forth on it. Yeah, doesn't multiple scriptures talk about the devil going back and forth? I think Peter talked about it over in 1 Peter and different parts of the scripture that the devil roams the earth, you know, seeking who he may devour. You know, the devil is wandering around. You know, he's trying to disrupt God's creation. He's trying to disrupt God's image bearer, mankind. And so Satan tells him, hey, I've been down to the earth going back and forth and stuff, looking around, seeing what I can mess up, my paraphrase, okay? And so so God talks to him again. The Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there's none like him on earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? So the devil basically has said, hey, you know, I've been going back and forth on the earth and trying to cause a big mess. You know, I'm seeking who I may devour. You know, I'm trying to stir things up. And so God says, well, wait a minute. Have you considered my man over here, Job? Wait a minute. If I'm Job and I hear God saying, hey, Satan, have you heard about Job? God, what are you doing? What are you doing? I don't want Satan coming over here and bothering me. But God knows what he's doing. Okay? You know, what does Satan tell God? If you go on here, you know, God has told him, hey, have you considered Job? You know, he's my servant. He loves me. You know, he trusts me. He fears me. He shuns evil. And so Satan tells God, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him and his household and around all that he has on every side. You blessed his work on his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. Now stretch forth your hand and touch all that he has, and he'll surely curse you to your face. Yeah, I said, so the devil said, hey, no wonder, no wonder Job loves you and stuff. You know, you put this hedge around him. You got this wall built up around him where I can't bother him. I can't touch him. But you know what? You let me touch him. Let me put a hurt on him, and old Job will change his tune. He'll curse you to your face. So God says, tell you what, go ahead and touch him. He says, lay your. He said, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went from his presence of the Lord. So we'll take a brief break. We'll be back in just a moment.
We hope you are enjoying today's show. We believe that God has given us a voice to impact communities and regions all over the world. If you would like to make sure that voice is heard, please partner with us today by visiting www.expressionradio.org and click donate. You can also text give by texting the dollar amount followed by the word radio to the number 84321. First-time text givers, please choose Expression Church of Huntington when prompted. All gifts are tax deductible. Join us as we change the world.
Welcome back. Hey, we're talking about Job and how God sort of presented Job to the devil. Said, "Hey, here's my man. You know, he loves me. He fears me. He shuns evil." And so the devil says, "Well, sure he does, because you know you won't let me touch him. You won't let me protect him. You know, you've prospered him. You've given him everything in the world. You know, you make his hands prosper. You know, you blessed him with kids and you blessed him with all this wealth." Says, let me touch him. Let me take this wealth away and stuff, and he's going to curse you. And so, in verse 13, it starts talking about Job losing his property and his children. Like we said, the old devil, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And so it says there's a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in the oldest brother's house, and a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them, and says we were raided." You know, and so these people came down, made a raid on us, and said they've killed your servants. You know, they've taken all your oxen and donkeys away, and killed all your servants there. Says I alone have escaped to tell you. And while he was still speaking, another messenger came in. Said the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I alone have escaped to tell you. And while he was still speaking, another came and said, "Hey, the Chaldeans formed three bands. They raided the camels and took them away. And yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you." So he's losing all of his possessions there, you know, his camels, his oxen, his sheep, his donkeys, and his servants there are taking care of him. And then another messenger runs up and says, "Your sons and daughters are eating and drinking wine in the oldest brother's house." Suddenly a great wind, you know, came there. And from across the wilderness, and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you. So Job looks like he's lost it all. You know, he rises up, he tears his robes, shaves his head, fell to the ground, and worshiped. Now think about that. He loses all of his kids. He loses, you know, all of his livestock. All of his servants basically have died. And Job worships God. You know, he says, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Says, in all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. You know, sometimes when the world is falling apart around us, some people want to blame God. And that's the easy way out. I guess Job is looking here, and maybe we should look and say, well, yeah, all this stuff has come on me. Well, why not? You know, why not me? Yeah, I'm in this world. God has blessed me, and God is still going to bless me. Even though I'm going through something, the key thing here, you're going through something. Okay? And even if something happens and you die, you've gone through that, and you passed on to glory. Okay? So you've won the ultimate victory. But, you know, God has not left us alone. God hasn't forsaken us. So you say, well, why did God let that happen to Job? Job loved him. Job is trying to do his best to serve God, and then God lets the devil do this to him? Well, first off, I don't have all the answers, okay? But there's a couple of points I'll make. One we'll look at as we get a little bit over in the scripture. But sometimes God allows something because it will be in the long run for our benefit. But sometimes God will allow stuff to happen so it can benefit other people. You know, we can look to Job. Job is a great example of someone, when hard times came, he stayed true to God. And so we know that we can stay true to God too. And then in the end, you know, didn't Job get it all back plus a lot more? Yeah. So it's a good example. It's something for us to learn from. Maybe us going through something can encourage someone else that has to go through something. Maybe by us going through something, someone else that may not even be a believer, you know, they can see you going through something, and then they can see your faith being demonstrated, and that can help lead them to Christ. You know, who knows? Now, old Satan, remember, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So Job didn't curse God and die. And so once again, you know, there's a day they're all called up before God, and once again, you know, God addresses Satan. Satan tells him, well, I've been down there, you know, going back and forth in the world, you know, trying to wreak havoc, I guess. And once again, you know, Job is brought up here, none like him. You know, a blameless and upright man is how God described Job, a man that fears God and shuns evil, holds fast to his integrity. Well, Satan, you know, answers him and says, well, skin for skin. You know, all that a man has will he give for his life. So stretch forth your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face. So once again, God, hey God, yeah, I know he's lost all that other stuff, but if you touch him physically, yeah, losing your stuff, that's one thing. Losing your kids, that's another. But, you know, your own life, you know, when your own life is in jeopardy, you know, you got that cancer, instead of your neighbor having that cancer, or you have this affliction, you know, that's different. And, you know, he's going to end up cursing you to your face. And so God, once again, says, behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life. So, yeah, go ahead and I'll allow you to put that sickness and disease on him, but you can't kill him. Oh, there's a message in that, too. Okay. Yeah, sickness and disease can come upon us, but death is not in the hands of Satan. Okay. Our hope is in Christ, and our eternal life is in Christ. So Job is, you know, covered with boils, and you know, his wife comes in and says, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Hey, Job, hey, hubby, just go ahead and curse God and die. You know, that's verse 9 of chapter 2. So his wife comes in, and she's doing the bidding of the devil, isn't it? I mean, what's the devil said? Hey, God, Job's going to curse you to your face. Now, I'll give a little bit of a doubt, okay, to the wife. The wife sees him suffering and thinks, okay, it's just, you know, he'd be better off, you know, not to suffer like this, just go ahead and die. So, you know, maybe. But she's playing right into the devil's hands. And she's telling her husband, hey, go ahead and curse God and die. Now, Job's smart enough not to do that. He says, you speak as one of the foolish women. Says, shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? And all this Job did not sin with his lips. So, you know, sometimes you got to watch out for your friends and relatives. So here his relatives, his wife, told him, hey, go ahead and curse God. And so now his three friends, you know, his three best buddies come here to visit him. And, you know, they're weeping with him. You know, they got the sad face and stuff, you know, and they want to comfort him. They want to mourn with him and comfort him. And verse 12 says, and when they raised their eyes from afar and did not recognize him, they lifted their voices and wept. Each tore their robe and sprinkled dust on their head from towards heaven. Then they sat down with him on the ground 7 days and 7 nights. No one spoke a word to him, so they saw that his grief was very great. Yeah, so his friends here, they spend a week with him, but in the end, you know, they basically tell him, hey, man, just go ahead and curse God and die. Just go ahead and look at the misery in. Just go ahead and curse God and die. Once again, he doesn't do that. Now, and one other key verse, and we're kind of running short here. Over in chapter 3, verse 25, Job said, for the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. Sometimes we open the door. Sometimes we open the door for that adversity to come into us. Now, God still got us in his hands. God is still protecting us. But, oh, the thing I greatly feared. You know, I think the Bible says, fear not. You know, don't be, you know, be anxious for nothing. You know, don't let your fears overcome your faith. You know, his fears didn't, but his fears did maybe help open that door that allowed Satan to come in and attack him. But like we said, in the end, you know, read the last of the chapters, it all turns to Job's good because God is good. So till next time, this is your host Larry Bryant with Truth Talk.
We
We hope you are enjoying today's show. We believe that God has given us a voice to impact communities and regions all over the world. If you would like to make sure that voice is heard, please partner with us today by visiting www.expressionradio.org and click donate. You can also text give by texting the dollar amount followed by the word radio to the number 84321. First-time text givers, please choose Expression Church of Huntington when prompted. All gifts are tax-deductible. Join us as we change the world.